Well, Father, we thank you and praise you for those words. We thank you, Christ Yahushua, for being our Lord and Savior and dying for us so we can live for you. So we thank you for your word to guide us in our daily walk and make us fruitful that we may bear much fruit. So through Christ our Lord, we give you thanks. Amen. Let us begin. We're going to go to Genesis. Well, let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 5 first. I'm not going to use walking by the Spirit. You know, that's never in the Old Testament. So I think sometimes the Spirit has got a whole other realm now anymore with supposedly Christians, because they're always talking about God and the Spirit, which there is no such thing. So, being led, and we're going to see in Proverbs 3, 5. A very simple process, and I think if you want to walk in power, seek Yahweh, seek to please Him, and He'll direct your paths. So, page 610 in Rotherham, trust thou in Yahweh with all thy heart, and unto thy own understanding do not lean. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight thy paths. So here's just a promise. It says, if we will acknowledge Him, He will make straight our paths. And so if our heart is to serve, yeah, you know, anybody else, God, if you think about that, if you have a son that says, I'm going to want to serve you, Dad, then I'm never going to lead him astray. And when he needs something, I'm not going to withhold it from him. Just say, let's see if he can figure this out. You know, I'm going to give him everything he needs so he can please me. So we're going to see when people would say, today, scriptures came by the Holy Spirit. You know? But no, they came from the mouth of Yahweh. And you can always say that, but that's still coming from the mouth of Yahweh. It's a very simple thing, and that's just foreign to anybody's statement of belief. So we go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, and we're just going to look at some things. And so this is in all of our lives, too, is Yahweh communicates to us. And we just expect it. If you're walking in fellowship and you have Holy Ruach and you're trying to please your Father, then just expect you being directed every day of your life. And not being asked, you just follow the desires of your heart. And if something tells you to change, then don't do that. The 6 verse 9, these are the generations of Noah, was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. That's very important to get revelation, to get information from Father, is to be righteous in his generation. With Elohim, did Noah walk? And now we go right into verse 13. So Elohim said unto Noah, you know, right? Just one-on-one. You know, so we're always thinking about everybody else has got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Elohim spoke to Noah. Let's just go to 12:1. Here's Abram.
Wait a minute. Chapter 12?
Yeah, 12, verse 1. So let's give you a few incidents, which we all know. You know, it's funny how so far off, we are so Hellenized, all we know is the New Testament, which is flawed in relationship to the Old Testament. And Yahweh said unto Abram, come now on thy way. I mean, he just spoke to him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all our lives. And Yahweh should be speaking to us through Christ, or Christ speaking to us. So I'm here to show up for work. Tell me what you want me. I'm just going to go ahead and do what my desires are saying. And we're going to see this is with Mordecai in the book of Esther, walking by the Spirit. So this is our subject today. But we see also that, you know, Yahweh spoke to Isaac, Yahweh spoke to Jacob, Yahweh spoke to Moses, Joseph, and it goes on and on and on. And so it's almost blasphemy, and it's not even heard of, that where did the word come from? The mouth of Yahweh. No, it came by the Holy Spirit. Holy man of God spoke his hair moved by the Holy Spirit. It came by the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. It's the mouth of Yahweh all the way through the Old Testament. Now we go to Esther 2, verse 5.
Do you remember how many times the mouth of Yahweh was used?
I think the word of Yahweh is just used 250 times. People don't say the word of Yahweh. They say the word Bible, and the Bible's not even in this book. The word Bible. And I thought, you know, hold up. just hold, let's just stop all this nonsense, and we're going to see another thing too. You know what the word, the Hebrew word for Jew is? We're going to see Mordecai the Jew. Yeah? Okay. Yehudi.
Wait a minute.
It's three syllables. I thought, not even close. Where did they come up with Jew? You know, obviously it's supposed to be a Judean instead of Israel. You know, you have 10 tribes in Judah. You know, but it's Yehudi. So it's Y-E-H hyphen H-O-O hyphen D-E-E.
Yehudi.
Yeah, Yehudi. And I said, where do we get the word Jew? Not even close. Now remind me of how we just accept error, and if we want to be truthful, yeah, we're going to be going to, well, I'll tell you what page that is, 494.
Chapter 2?
Yeah. But if we want to start correcting our use and everybody else to say, let's get it, you know. When we went to Rome, it's not Rome. And why didn't people even call it Rome? It's Roma. It's two syllables. It doesn't put an E on it. It's an A on the end of it. I just saw our maps. Everything else, it's just amazing. And then people just follow along. It's not Naples. It's what?
Napoli.
Yeah, Napoli. Yeah. And I thought, if we just stop at one particular time and say, it's not Jesus, yes, it's Yahushua. And one generation, like with these kids, one generation stops all this nonsense. Okay, Esther chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 5 through 7. And a certain Yehuda, I'm going to try to do this instead of saying Jew.
Yehudi.
A certain Jew there was in Shushan, the palace, whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, son of Benjamin.
Man of Benjamin.
Who had been exiled from Jerusalem with the exiles who were carried away with Jedidiah,
is
king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, exiled. And he came to pass that he was bringing up Hadassah. The same was Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was a beautiful form and pleasing appearance. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her for her own daughter. And I forgot one other thing. At verse 5, it talks about Mordecai lived in the palace. And so that's what it says here. And a certain Jew there was in Shushan, who was in Shushan the palace, whose name was Mordecai. So his job was in the palace. He probably lived there too. But we know he is a Jew. We're going to find out that his really stepdaughter.
His cousin, really, if it's his uncle's daughter.
Yeah, but he's acting as father.
Yeah, but
I'm going to say that. So we're going to put it in perspective. It's a father-daughter relationship. And so we go to 10. Now this is being led by Yahweh. Esther had not told of her people, nor of her... Everybody knows the story of Esther, so we're not going to end up talking about the story of Esther. We're going to talk about the particulars in here. Esther had not told of her people, nor of her kindred, for Mordecai had laid charge upon her that she should not tell. That's revelation. The word lay charge is the same Hebrew word that is sabah, which is used in Genesis 2:16. And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man. Remember that? You shall not eat of the tree.
Yeah.
So he, you know, this lay charge means commanded. He commanded. You're not supposed to say that you're a Yehudi.
Judean.
No, Jew is Yehudi. That's the Hebrew word here. Now we go to 20. And you have to say, how important is this for that to be done? And so many times in our own lives, on our leading, we're not going to understand why, but there's a certain time not to speak and not to reveal certain things if Yahweh tells you not to reveal them. So, and we know in this history, it's very obvious. Verse 20, same chapter, Esther had not told of her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had laid charge upon her. Neither did she tell them that Mordecai was her
uncle.
And the command of Mordecai, Esther performed, like as when she was being brought up with him. So, both of the things of Mordecai lived in the palace area, and Esther lived in a home off the palace. There's no connection because obviously, and how do we know that Mordecai is a Jew or Yehudi? Is because he must have lived a life of that, and maybe took off Sabbath. And or told people he was. And maybe it was on the records too, whatever. But that was public information. Now we go to 2, verse 21 through 23. In those days when Mordecai was sitting in the gate of the tent, or the king, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the eunuchs of the king who guarded the threshold, were wrought and sought to thrust a hand upon King Xerxes. Remember, this is going to be Cambyses, and so we'll do a little update on this. So Cambyses is going to marry Esther, and they have a child whose name is Cyrus, King Cyrus. So that's the story we're getting into.
So Cambyses is the same as Ahasuerus.
Yes, the same as King Ahasuerus is just a title, like Pharaoh, like King.
President Caesar.
Yeah. At 22, but the thing became known to Mordecai, and how did that happen? And maybe Yahweh showed him to be listening on a conversation about these people ready to try to kill the king. But the thing became known to Mordecai, told it unto Esther the queen, and he didn't tell the king, and Esther told it unto the king in the name of Mordecai, but as we find out later on, he doesn't remember it. And when the thing was searched into and found, then were they two hanged upon the gallows, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. So we see first, don't tell them you're a Yehudi. Next thing is, oh, by the way, these two guys want to kill the king. Everything just keeps flowing. Okay, so same as our lives. Many times things are happening or preparing us for big incidents that are not ready to happen, and we don't even see the connection until the end of the story. And say, wow, you know, and we've seen that many times on buying houses or going on vacations.
Jobs.
Even on our vacation, many times, you know, things would break at the right time, we're in the right place, and you're like, wow, this is perfect. Provincial care. Now we go to chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. And Melania, you want to start there?
Sure. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote the power Haman's son of Hammedatha. Okay, that one. The Agagite. And exalted him and placed his seat above all the rulers who were with him. And all the king's servants who were in the king's gate used to bow themselves down unto Haman. For also had the king given command concerning him.
But remember, that's interesting. The king did give a command. So this is interesting. So Mordecai is going to disobey it. But Mordecai bent not nor bowed himself down. Now, that's very instrumental also. So Yahweh had to tell him, don't bow to this guy. Because we can bow to people in civil service. And people did it all the time when people came in. People would bow and just show respect. 3, then said the king's servants who were in the king's gate unto Mordecai, wherefore art thou transgressing the command of the king? And it came to pass when they had spoken unto him day by day that he had not hearkened unto them, that they told Haman to see whether the account of Mordecai would stand, or he that had told them that he was a Yehudi. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bend nor bow down unto him, then was Haman filled with wrath. And we're really going to see in our lives many times adversaries, Satan puts adversaries in front of us, or to confront Yahweh. It's always to confront Yahweh. And so obviously we know Haman is a tool. 6, but it was contemptible in his eyes to thrust forth a hand on Mordecai alone, for they had told him, of the people of Mordecai, and Haman sought to destroy all the Yehudis who were throughout all the kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. So you're looking at the severity of the situation, and that's Satan's plan, because that would get rid of the Christ line. Also, let's remember, while this is happening in Persia, you got Daniel in Babylon, and you have Jeremiah in, he might not be there still, but he was in Jerusalem, and you had Ezekiel in Babylon also. So you have a lot, and Nehemiah in Persia. So you have a lot of things going on at a particular time. Let's see, so we see that. That was the whole thing, that he's going to kill him. The Jews. Now we go to chapter 4, verse 1. And let me see here. 1 to 2. When Mordecai came to know all that had been done, Mordecai rent his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes and went forth into the midst of the city and cried out with an outcry loud and bitter. So we're going to see that. I'm going to call this, I forgot to do this. I'm going to call that the fourth leading. So we know the first leading of Mordecai was to tell Esther, don't tell him that you're a Yehudi. The second leading was he discovered a conspiracy and revealed it. The third leading was he did not bow to Haman. The fourth leading is now he's got sackcloth on. Once he finds out the Jews have been said they're going to be killed. Now the fifth leading is in verse 8, 4:8. Also, a copy of the writing of the edict which had been given in Susan to destroy them gave he unto him to show unto Esther and to tell her and to lay charge upon her to go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. So that is the fifth leading. And now we go to 13 and 14. And this is going to be the sixth lady. Then and she comes back and says, you know, I have to be invited to see the king. We know that. So in 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, do not think in thy own soul to escape in the house of the king from among all the Yehudis. But if thou do indeed hold thy peace, at this time, respite and deliverance will be appointed for the Yehudis from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish, and who knoweth whether for a time such as this thou hast attained unto the royal estate. So he is pushing Esther. And that's Yahweh. So right, that's on the sixth leading. Now it's going to go into Esther's role. So Esther's now to get in here as a team effort. So 15 through 17. Go ahead, Melania.
Then Esther commanded to answer Mordecai, go gather ye together all the Yehudi who are found in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor day, and I and my maidens will fast so. And in the manner will I go unto the king, though it is not according to the law. And when I have perished, I have perished. So Mordecai departed and did according to all that Esther charged upon him.
So, very good precaution. So when you're going to make, you're going to have to stop wiggling your pencil, it's kind of distracting. When you're going to make a huge decision, what do? Here's a 3 day of fasting. So sometimes in our own lives, a huge decision is going to come up, so I want to make sure it's absolutely right. And so that's the way to do it. You don't have to do 3 days of fasting, but you have to really take that kind of precaution. And why she was praying, and going without water too, I could go without food for 3 days. I don't think I could go with a lot of water for 3 days. And that really makes it apparent. Even 1 day would be very interesting. So 3 days without water. Now, Mordecai and the Yehudis are also supplicating for on this. So this is Esther's first attempt, her first leading. Now we go to chapter 5, verse 3 through 8. And she comes in, and we know he hands out the scepter, and she takes the scepter. Now the whole thing is, you would think, what's the problem, Esther? Well, Haman's trying to kill us, right? That would be the same thing. Save us. She's not going to do that. And so we got to use that same kind of wisdom and that same kind of leasing. No. Because we're going to find out the king has not read the book that said Mordecai saved his life. And also Haman has not built the gallows yet either. So you have to look at it. You naturally, you would say, I'm just going to tell what the problem is. And you've got to have that stirring to say, and that's what we're going to see here. Okay, Esther, what do you want? And 3 through 8, then said the king unto her, what aileth thee, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? Unto half of the kingdom shall be given unto thee. Boy, what is that? They don't even know you're a Yehudi. You know, everybody else could die, and you're rich. Got half the kingdom. Then said Esther, if unto the king it seems good, let the king with Haman come in this day unto the banquet which I have prepared for him. And the king said, hasten ye, Haman, to perform the word of Esther. So the king with Haman came in unto the banquet which Esther had prepared. Then said the king unto Esther during the banquet of wine, what is thy petition that it may be granted thee? And what is, you know, it's over and over and over. She had to say, stop, no, no, no. That's leading. And what is thy request unto the half of the kingdom that it may be performed? Then answered Esther and said, as touching my petition and my request, if I have found favor in the eyes of the king, and if unto the king it seems good to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king with Haman come in unto the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do according to the word of the king. So, that is her second lady. Let's see. Now we go to 7, chapter 7, verse 1 through 10. And when do you want to read that? So it's very important to say, why don't I just tell them right now? So it's a lot of times, too, when we're talking with people, we're trying to change their lives. So, you know, just be in the moment and be led by Yahweh to say what to say and what not to say. And you don't say it in the heat of the moment. Because James 3, 2, and 5 says, if anyone in word does not stumble, the same as a tellulous man able to curb even the whole body. So also the tongue is a little member, and yet of great things make it boast. Lo, how small a fire kindle, how great a forest. And so, you know, keeping control of your tongue is so, so important. So if you want to belt it out, just hold it before you make any kind of rash decision and look for that guidance.
What did you want me to read?
Yeah, 7, chapter 7, 1 through 10. This is her third leading.
So, the king and Haman came in to banquet with Esther the queen. Then said the king unto Esther, on the second day also during the banquet of wine. Second day. What is thy petition, Queen Esther, that it may be granted thee? What is thy request under half of the kingdom that it may be performed? Then answered Esther the queen and said, if I have found favor in thine eyes, O king, and if unto the king it seem good, let my life be granted me as my petition, and my people as my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to be caused to perish. If indeed for bondmen and for bondwomen we have been sold, I had held my peace, although the adversary could not have made good the damage to the king. Then spake King Ahasuerus and said unto Esther the queen, who is he now, where is he, and whose heart is set to act thus? And Esther said, a man who is an adversary and enemy, this wicked Haman. And Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Now the king, arising in his wrath from the banquet of wine and going into the palace garden, Haman stood to make request for his life from Esther the queen, for he saw that ruin was determined against him by the king. When the king returned out of the palace garden, into the place of the banquet of wine, Haman was lying prostrate upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he even dare to force the queen while I'm in the house?" No sooner had the word gone forth out of the mouth of the king than the face of Haman they had covered. Then said Harbona, one of the eunuchs before the king, "Yea, lo, the gallows that Haman made ready for Mordecai, who had spoken well for the king, is standing in Haman's house of a height of 50 cubits. Then said the king, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows which he had prepared for Mordecai, and the wrath of the king was appeased.
Yeah, that is, I mean, how did these eunuchs even know that? Haman must have been advertising. It was just yesterday. He just had the gallows built. You know, back in there, I said, "What the heck is that?" Well, that's for Mordecai. You know, but if people want to go on the tape or anything else, you go back so when the king read about Mordecai's in the Book of Chronicles, how he saved his life, that's in Esther 6:1-3, and for Haman on building his gallows in Esther 5:14. Now you think that's the end of the story. Great, it's all over. No, because there's a rule with the Persian kings about laws that they made. Yeah, and so we're going to go to Daniel 6. We're going to come back here. The Daniel 6, page 852.
So because she postponed the banquets, he had a sleepless night. Yep. Then read the Chronicles.
Yeah. But if she would have said, you know, told him the first moment, those two things have not even occurred yet. So Yahweh is setting this up. Daniel chapter 6, verse 7 and 9. And so you have to say, well, why don't they just call everything off? Well, they can't do that. And that's page 852. Daniel 6, verses Chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, sorry. And this is what Daniel, when they said, if anybody doesn't, if anybody prays to anybody except for the king for 30 or 60 days, let me throw in the den of lions. And they were setting up Daniel. And verse 7, and all the ministers of the kingdom, the nobles and the satraps, the near friends and the pashas, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to confirm an interdict, that whosoever shall ask a petition from any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, wilt thou establish the interdict and sign the writing that it may not be changed? See, this is it. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be abolished. That's what was happening over here, because the Yehudis are still going to be killed. Because that was the edict that was done a long time ago. Now, if you look at verse 12, you know, the king is, this is a Persian king also, so I think this is Cambyses also. Yeah, but this is when Babylon's or Persia's taken it. Then drew they near, began to speak before the king concerning the royal interdict. Didst thou not sign an interdict that any man who should petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, certain is the thing, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be abolished. So you can't change it. So now we go back to Esther.
What
page
is that?
Back to 497. Chapter 8, verses 1. Now we're going to start looking at, we got trouble because Haman's dead. Esther is queen. Mordecai is in good sights with the king as of right now, with Cambyses. But we have an interdict that's been made to kill all the Yehudis, which would have been Daniel, and would have been probably Nehemiah, which would have been Ezekiel, and probably even Jeremiah, because they owned the kingdom at that time too.
Wow.
So 1 through 8. Somebody want to read that?
Chapter 8?
Yeah, chapter 8, 1 through 8. Aaron, why don't you do it?
On that day did King Ahasuerus give unto Esther the queen the house of Haman, the adversary of the Yehudi. And Mordecai came in before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Yet again spake Esther before the king, and fell down at his feet, and wept, and made supplication unto him, to cause the mischief of Haman the Agagite to pass away, even the plot which he had plotted against the Yehudis.
Okay, stop right now. Remember, she had to break the law again. Not break it, but he had to put out a scepter, because you did not talk to the king unless he were invited. So she put her life at stake twice. And so now this is really a Mordecai-Esther team effect to save the Yehudis.
Four. And the king held out unto Esther the golden scepter. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if unto the king it seemed, and if I have found favor before him, and the thing be approved before the king, and I myself be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to the reverse the letters plotted by Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Yehudis, who are in all the provinces of the king. For how can I endure to see the ruin that shall overtake my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then said King Ahasuerus unto Esther the queen, and unto Mordecai the Jew, lo, the house of Haman have I given unto Esther, and him have they hanged on the gallows, because he thrust forth his hand against the Yehudis. Yea, therefore, write concerning the Yehudis as many seem good in your own eyes, in the name of the king, and seal with the king's signet ring. For a writing which hath been written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, none can reverse.
So that's another thing, too. So that kind of really establishes the first law. And so the first law can't be reversed. So guess what? You're going to have to arm everybody else. Okay, let's see here. Now we go, and we know they did. And the other and the Yehudis end up fighting back. And actually, the king gave them charge that you can take their spoil, and they didn't do that. I mean, take all their goods, too. So you found out the people were wanting to kill you, and you went ahead and killed them instead. You took the offense. Now, chapter 10 kind of ends this. Chapter 10, let's see here. And King Ahasuerus laid tribute upon the land and upon the shores of the sea. But all the acts of his authority and his might, and the clear story of the promotion of Mordecai, wherewith the king promoted him, were they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Yehudi was next unto King Ahasuerus, just like Daniel was.
Yeah, Joseph.
Joseph, you're looking at, even in this travesty that happened in Judah, where Nebuchadnezzar took them all away, you have such great victory happening throughout the non-Hebrew states. And Mordecai the Yehudi was next unto King Ahasuerus, and became great among the Jews, Yehudis, and accepted by the multitude of his brethren, seeking happiness for his people, and seeking and speaking peace to all his seed. Now, what was the result of this? Well, King Cyrus was going to be born now. And that's 2 Chronicles 36, page 469. What was special about King Cyrus, and this is something we've got to correct, because the Yehudis or Judeans will say that he was a nation, a non-Hebrew. I'm going to say, no, he was a Hebrew. I'm going to say his mother was probably Esther. We don't know any of this for fact, because they don't have the records. His mother was Esther, and his uncle was Mordecai, and he would be a Hebrew. Because he even knows who Yahweh is. And so you're going to see right here, in 36:22. And so when Cambyses dies, they probably had a joint ownership. And so we're finding out, in the end of Daniel, Persia takes over Babylon. And the guy is 66 years old, so that had to be Cambyses. And so sometimes you have what they call co-regents, where son and father are both ruling.
So Ahasuerus is the same as...
Yeah, it's going to be representing, in these particular cases, Cambyses. And so you had, you know, you had really Cyrus the first, then you had Cambyses, and then you have, and what we know is really Cyrus the second. And Bullinger has all this in his appendix. Yeah. But we're going to look at here, because Esther, Yehudis did not be, or were not destroyed. Esther was the queen, then you have Cyrus. In 22, and in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to accomplish the word of Elohim by the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh aroused the Ruach of Cyrus, king of Persia, just like he did with Mordecai and with Esther, so that he made proclamation throughout all his kingdom, moreover also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Yahweh, that's right, it's not Elohim, it's Yahweh. I don't think, Nebuchadnezzar ever called him Yahweh. It was always Elohim. Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens, given unto me, and he himself hath laid charge upon me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people with whom is Yahweh his Elohim? Then let him go up. That is what we have because of Esther and Mordecai, of people walking by the Ruach. They're being led by Yahweh. So one last illustration of this is Acts 16.
Is what?
Acts chapter 16. A little illustration of how does that pertain to our lives? We have to realize if we're seeking to please Yahweh, if we're seeking to live for Yahweh in Christ, then it's their duty to make our path straight.
What?
To make our path straight.
We have to make our path straight.
No, they are going to make our path straight.
Proverbs
3:5. Trust thou in Yahweh with all thy heart.
Oh, I see.
Lean not on your understanding. All the ways acknowledge him. And do not lean unto thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him. And make that, and he will make thy the path straight. So we look at, and here's just an example. Paul... 16, let me see here. Chapter 16, verse 6. And this is Paul, they're speaking the word, and they pass through the Phygina and Galatian country, being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Okay, where were they going to go? They were going to go to these places. And that's why you're forbidden not to go to these places. So they made a decision to go, and Yahweh told them, don't go these. You're forbidden to go there. Okay. But coming along Mysia, they were attempting to journey unto Bithynia, and the Ruach of Yahushua suffered them not. There's another thing. Okay, don't do this. Wow. That's a leading.
Yeah.
That's the leading. But passing by Mysia, they came down unto Troas, and a vision by night unto Paul appeared. Here's leading. A man of Macedonia there was, standing and beseeching him, and saying, come into Macedonia and bring us succor. And so we know that's leading. So we know we've got Holy Ruach. If our heart's right, then our paths are going to be straight. And so we just follow our leading on what's desiring us to do, and if that's not what Yahweh wants, like in this particular case, they'll stop you and say, don't go that. Okay. So we'll go ahead and end there, and I'll give a prophecy for those who are watching or listening. Thank you for these words, Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14, which is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. As you begin each day and as you meditate on my word and as you live for me, Do not keep your eyes on sights of worldly happiness and worldly treasures, but look your eyes unto me, and I will answer the desires of your heart. I will enrich you with all the things that you need. But I need you to be in my corner 100% and trust in me 100%. And your paths may not appear to be straight, as you would have think straight is, but they are straight according to what I have planned in your life, and as I will direct your life to do missions only you can perform. So do not compare yourself to other people's missions, for your mission is unique in itself. Amen. See you next week.